This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
On the air. Can you believe this? We're on the air.
It'd be better to be in the air.
Yeah. Mike just got, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, is
I
here.
I wish I was in the air.
Yeah, yeah. Alan Love, guest attorney, is here. Vince Rosino, CPA, forensic CPA, ex-college professor.
But not at Columbia?
Not at Columbia.
Not at Columbia.
Is here. Yeah. Pastor Dave is here, moderating.
Love to moderate.
So, you know, it was an interesting thing, folks. Now, this is, those of you that have not heard the program before, I will give you the quick skinny. This is the Team Martech Hour. I am Joe Martech. Joe Martech's a financial advisor. I'm also called a stockbroker, a securities principal, lots of licenses, lots of clients here and in 13 other states because people move and referrals, etc. But give or take around 2004, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, who's not here, Greg Fasula, attorney, who's not here, and I started doing these radio shows basically to answer questions for clients. Because there's no such thing as any one of us that's walking the earth today that knows all of these things. So the concept of putting together an attorney meant, let's talk about wills and trusts. Those are the main thing. Independent insurance agent. Those of us that have lived in Florida since 1992 and watched Hurricane Andrew hit and saw the debacle of what happened with insurance and people getting non-renewed and doubling, tripling their premiums. We needed an independent, quote, insurance agent that didn't work for one insurance company, that worked for the client. And Dan, in my not too humble opinion, is the premier and independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast. He's got roughly 100 companies under his umbrella. And he has done magnificent things for, well, I think just about everybody. Mike, I know for your many clients, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, is sitting here. And he, how many of your clients has he helped?
Well, not only that, I mean, he saved a bunch of deals for us because, as you know, we qualify a customer for a mortgage payment.
Right.
We really don't qualify you for a loan amount. So the payment usually includes taxes and insurance. So if your insurance is lower, it's easier for you to qualify. I can't tell you how many deals he has saved because he reduced the premium and helped these people qualify.
Yeah. And in fact, let me go back and mention a lady that we tried to help some time ago, Norma. You remember?
Norma?
And you couldn't help her. And I finally looked at it 10 more times. And then I looked at the amount of money that's going into her escrow account every month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more than is going in for her mortgage payment.
Mm-hmm.
She was putting almost $1,000 a month into escrow. And I started to think, something's wrong with this picture. Taxes and insurance should not add up to $10,000, $12,000 a year.
Right.
So I called her up, and coincidentally, the day before, somebody had told her almost the same thing, shop your insurance. Well, right away, she cut her insurance cost in half.
Mm-hmm.
I said, now, is your house homesteaded? It wasn't.
Right.
I said, Norma, that's a mistake. Now,
you wouldn't believe it, right, in these times?
Well, she made a judgment, and I won't give you all the details, but it was a mistake. And literally, I said, you got to go back to your escrow company and get your house homesteaded and get this taken care of. And there might be $2,000 or $3,000 sitting in that escrow account that they can give you back because you're overpaying it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a lot of times, especially in Florida, because Florida is one of the only states that I know of that we pay our taxes at the end of the year.
Right.
So what happens is when you buy a new house, they reassess the property. So the following year, you can have a huge increase in your taxes.
Right.
So not only did the mortgage company not escrow enough for that previous year, you have to make up for the loss of that year and the higher taxes for the following year. So you could be double paying for the taxes until that settles out.
And some people, the mortgage company may overload in anticipation of higher taxes, mm-hmm. the escrow account.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, now, Mike, most mortgage companies, most lenders are going to come up if you have overfunded your escrow account at some point. We'll let you know.
Well, they have to. It's a law. They're servicing laws that require a mortgage company to only escrow enough to cover the expenses on the property based on the previous year.
But
they're
might,
allowed to take a little bit of a buffer, but not that much.
But it might also, would you say, if it's a little bit of a buffer for 18 months, they may not have kept caught up to the readjustment for a couple of years' time?
Well, again,
because
we pay our taxes at the end of the year, you may not get a correction until the following year.
Yeah. So anyway, so the concept.
I think a lot of people don't get that we pay in arrears on our taxes.
Yeah, and I don't know of any other state that does that.
What other state that does that? They wait to the end of the year to get their money.
Not only that, is our tax bill that's going to come out in November actually isn't payable until
March.
April.
Yeah, till April of following year.
Yeah.
Talk about cash flow nightmare. Who ever dreamed that one up?
Well, we like them.
It's good rather,
think about this. Pay me in advance or pay me in arrears. Which would you prefer?
Yeah,
that was easy.
Well, that was easy.
Yeah.
It just makes it a little bit more difficult.
But a lot of states, most states don't handle
most
it that
states
way.
Don't.
No, most of them will pay it at the beginning of the year or throughout the year.
Now, we also have a guest attorney here who actually falls asleep on the job. It's trying hard to keep him awake.
Well, he's working nights now.
Alan Love is an ex-prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin, and he's become a friend of our group, and he hangs out and tries to keep us. Alan, what do you try to do to us?
He keeps us
sane and happy.
He keeps us in the channel.
There you go.
Yeah.
Anyway, just before the program started, and understand the group is here. There's over 200 years of combined experience, and that's not even
most of it's with you, though, Joe.
That's right.
Well, over 100. If I count Alan, we're pushing 300 years. But
Joe, you're still the most senior guy here.
Just because I'm the oldest doesn't mean I'm the most experienced.
That's true.
See? Now, if we look at Dan, 38 years.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the most experienced.
Yeah, he's experienced, and he does a great job.
Yeah. You know, he's got lots of experience.
He does have experience, without a doubt. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, before the program started, and by the way, I didn't mention Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart,
mm-hmm.
who called me just before the show started just to give me a piece of useless trivia. Poor Vic, if she's got 1 minute she's not working, she's either going to sleep or call somebody, right?
That's true.
So she called me up to say, Joe,
or text.
a guy called in on the radio show after we were done and said, we're pronouncing realtor wrong. I guess one of us said realtor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he corrected her. He said, same guy now has called twice.
Is an English professor?
Probably.
Realtor.
A retired professor.
Well, you know, a lot of people
realtor.
I'm confused. Which one is correct?
Realtor. There's no utor.
There hasn't been for a long time.
No.
Who knows how long.
Anyway, just before the show started, Pastor Tom came in and said a friend of his just got on Medicare, and somebody told this friend of his that he had to get on Social Security at 65 in order to get on Medicare, which is not true. And now, I mean, Vince Rosino, CPA, Joe Martek, financial advisor, are both sitting here with a 100%. We are not even concerned if this is even close to the truth. It is not true. Now, if you get Medicare at age 65 and you don't have Social Security, you have to pay the Medicare premium, which is roughly $130 a month.
$134 unless you have higher income.
Unless you have a higher income. Now, you have to pay it out of pocket, and you best not mess up on that because they won't give it to you then till full retirement age, which is 66 and whatever.
Depends. 66 starts at 66.
Yeah.
If you're born after, you know, 1949.
But if you're turning 65 right now, it would be 66 in a few months, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, here's the rule. When you turn 65, you automatically qualify for Part A, which is hospital. Hospital has a deductible of $700 or $800. I don't remember the dollar amount, which means then Medicare will pick up the rest of the bill. Part B is doctors. Part B means Medicare will pay 80% of the, quote, approved amount. Medicare determines the amount the doctors get. Makes no difference what they bill. Now, and I will tell you this, all doctors except pediatricians that I know of in the state of Florida take Medicare. If they didn't, they'd probably be out of business.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So they take it. Now, even though they may bill you $10,000, Medicare might say, okay, fine, that's an approved $4,000 expense. That's all they're going to get. And they're only going to get 80% of that $4,000. The other 20% is your responsibility, meaning you, the customer. Now, how can you cover that? You can cover that with a supplement you buy from an insurance company called Medicare Supplement. There's like 6 or 8 different plans. They're all exactly the same no matter which company you go through. The C and the F plan basically cover everything Medicare doesn't pay. And then you're covered. Now, you can also not do a supplement. You can say, fine, I want to go to an HMO, Health Maintenance Organization, or a PPO, which is a preferred provider organization. And literally what Medicare does, they will give a check to the insurance company, and I don't know how often, but let's just say annually, for X number of dollars, and it's now the insurance company's responsibility to take care of you no matter what happens. And there's very, very strong restrictions, constrictions, watching the insurance company to make sure they do what they're supposed to. Now, what happened to this friend of Tom's, somebody, quote, told him that he had to get on Medicare or Social Security in order to get on Medicare. Not true. Now, I think it was an insurance salesman because listening, reading between the lines, the insurance salesman also said he had to have a supplement. Now, Social Security would not tell you that. They could care less if you do that.
No.
So I'm assuming that this, quote, insurance salesman was trying to sell him a supplement and put him on Social Security for no reason that I can figure, but he was misinformed.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, he might be taking it too early. He may not need it, Joe.
Well, what I was saying to Tom,
you lose like whatever, 5% or 8%.
It's 8%.
8% a year.
So if he gets it at 55, not is it a
count? 65.
No. 65.
So if he got it, if he's 66 and a half is when he gets it, there may be more than 8%. Might be 12% prorated.
I don't know exact amount.
Roughly 8% a year.
Roughly 8%.
So if he doesn't need the money, it's much smarter to take the money when he turns 66. Now you have another problem. If he made more than $15,500, am I right with that amount?
$15,800.
In the course of this next year, let's say he made $35,000. He would pretty much have to give back all the money he got from Social Security.
Except in the year that you turn 66. When you turn in your normal retirement year, they allow you to earn more. Could be up to $48,000, I think you can earn
that point on. But prior to that.
Prior to that, no, it's $15,800.
But
in the year that you turn 66 or whatever your normal retirement age is, you can earn more.
Yeah.
That year.
And then from then on, you can earn anything you want and you're covered.
Yeah, you're not restricted after that.
So the key thing I was trying to say is if for Tom is to get a hold of this fellow. And if Tom, Dave, you two, either one, he could call Vince, he could call me, whoever is informing him. And if he gets Social Security, let's say he got 1 or 2 checks already, he can give it back.
Mm-hmm. Right. He's got a year.
He's got a year to
unwind
it,
you know. Mm-hmm.
And then that way he can wait for the full benefit and not have the, because if he's still working, he's going to have to give it most of it back anyway.
And besides that, Joe, he might have a spouse who might be eligible for benefits, might have been a higher benefit if he waited a year. His benefit would be higher, therefore her spousal benefit might be higher. So he could be losing out on some money. He could be losing out.
Anyway.
You're okay? You're going to survive this 1 hour?
No. Now, if I die... Mike, will you be in charge, please?
No. No.
How's that?
Mike, you're going to have to take it over.
Take it over.
You know, I've said this 1,000 times. If I drop dead right this minute, it's fine with me. I mean, God and I hope we're on the same. No, wait a minute. Forgive me. I am on the same page with him.
Amen.
Now, back on the bus, Pastor Dave and I have talked about it. Dave says, I don't care if I just get in as long as I'm in. I'd like to get some brownie points and get towards the front of the bus rather than the back of the bus. But on the other hand, I'm in.
I don't think that's how it works, Joe.
Yeah, well, yes, it is.
There is no bus.
Where
did you go to school?
Oh, that's when we had to walk. I can't ride your bike. I'm probably going to get a used tricycle.
just keep in mind.
He's waiting for the bus.
We don't want you to die right now, Joe. But if you do, this is a live show. There's no dead air. We can't allow for that.
That's
somebody's
right.
Somebody's going to have to pick
we'll,
up.
We'll pick it up. I see, either that or we'll put the mic right up to him and we'll get his last breaths. But there's also another problem that would occur. See, this is being inconsiderate if I drop dead right now.
It would be.
Because the police would come out and wonder why you guys killed me.
That's right.
And they'd probably keep you here till 10, 11 o'clock at night.
But they would just check the record and they'd totally understand you.
Well yeah, but they wouldn't understand till after midnight.
When the police come, their job will be easy because the prosecutors are ready here to
take care of things.
1-888-221-8990. All right. Class, this is an important number. You're supposed to write this down. You're supposed to keep it next to the phone. If you're driving your car, forget it. But if you're not, it's 1-888-221-8990. Worst comes to worst, this is WCNO.com.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
You can watch us on the thing.
No, you can't watch.
You can only listen. We don't stream. Yeah. We don't have a camera.
Which is probably a good thing they don't have a camera here.
Well, you know, we got one at the other station, but
that's why they don't listen here.
That's why we can all wear radio clothes.
That's right.
See,
yeah, it's a pretty scruffy looking group. You know, Vince, you don't look all bad today. You took your tie off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm figuring I got to relax a little bit.
Pastor Dave, you know, you look like a rich retired Floridian.
Well, I'm two out of three of those.
I hate Alan. Yeah, they're going to kick you off the bar, I'm telling you. I don't mean the one you drink at. Anyway, 1-888-221-8990. We have Mike Paulus, mortgage broker here. Today's a great time to call in and talk about mortgages. I hear radio ads that you can have a credit score as low as 550, 580 and get a mortgage.
You know, for loans like FHA, FHA doesn't set a minimum credit score. It's usually the lenders that have their own minimum credit score. Now, obviously, the lower the credit score, the more difficult it is to get a mortgage. So, you know, if you come in with a 700, it's, you know, you have a much better chance than coming in with a 580. But no, normally our average credit score for all of our customers, and I was just looking at that this the other day, it was 700, right around 710. But, you know, we always help people all the time with lower credit scores down to 600. That should not be a problem. Under 600, it gets a bit challenging, but it's not impossible.
Just take a little bit longer.
Yeah.
You have to
jump through a few more hoops.
Well, you know what happens is, folks, you have to have reasons for having these problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's called documentation. Why did I have this problem?
Mm-hmm.
You know, And you can't have stupid reasons.
Well, you see, nowadays, all these loans are computer underwritten. If you look at Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, they all have their own underwriting software programs that we have to utilize. It doesn't mean if the computer disqualifies you or doesn't approve you, it doesn't mean we can't do it. We just have to do it as a manual underwrite. And we tend to be a little bit more cautious on who we approve for that. So, yeah, for a lower credit score, then we would look for a reason for that lower credit score. And we would like to see that that person is on the right track. So if you had like a medical issue a year ago, you have medical collections that's driving down the credit score, you're back healthy, you're back to work, and for the last 6 to 8 months you've been on the right track, then yeah, we can help folks like that, even though your score is low.
1-888-221-8990. Vince Rosino, CPA. Alan Love, almost asleep, returning. You look tired today.
No, I'm fine. As a matter of fact, Mike, I got a question for you. Okay.
Okay.
There's a site that has a credit score simulator on mm-hmm. it that you can add factors and determine how your credit score would be affected.
Yeah.
Well, I did one where I basically had very little credit. In other words, I hardly was using any of my credit.
Mm-hmm.
But then, because of a purchase, I added a few thousand dollars to that. And on the simulator, the credit score actually went up mm-hmm. because I was actually using more of my credit than.
Well, a lot of times, you know, when folks don't use their credit, they kind of fall off the radar screen. So it's very important that you utilize your credit, but you utilize it in a responsible manner. The credit reports that we use nowadays shows exactly what your balance is from month to month, what your minimum payment is for that particular month, and how much you actually paid. Well, if you're a person who pays the minimum amount, you know, that is all taken into consideration nowadays. But mostly, the balance of your revolving debt compared to your credit, your high credit rating. So let's say you had a Visa card with a $1,000 limit and you were maxed out. That's going to have a detrimental effect on your credit score. The rule of thumb is you don't want to bring your revolving debt over 30% of your available credit. So if you can keep your revolving debt low, but use it once in a while, what I always suggest is just use it to buy a tank of gas once a month and then pay it off. It shows activity on it. It shows that you're paying the account off. And so it shows responsible use of credit.
What if you have some cards where you've got credit, not a credit balance, but the amount of credit that the bank will give you, but you don't use the card? Because one of the things they look at is percentage of credit utilization.
Exactly, and that's what I was referring to, the utilization of the credit. But if you're maxed out on your credit report or your credit card all the time, then it's going to have a detrimental effect on your score. If you keep your balance low, it's going to help you.
What about no balances? But, if they had four cards and you don't use them at all?
Yes, as long as you have some other credit activity. If that's your only credit that you have available, it helps if you use that occasionally.
Okay.
And that's why I suggest, you know, for someone building their credit, I always suggest even if you have terrible credit, you get a secured credit card.
Mm-hmm.
You keep that credit card in your glove compartment and you use it to buy a tank of gas once a month, and then you pay that balance off. It shows activity. It shows that you're paying off the balance. It shows responsible use of credit. Now, the simulators that you were talking about, I use those every day. Mm-hmm. And the credit bureau that we use, we can go in and we can manipulate anything on your credit report and give you an estimate of how that's going to affect your score. And that's one of the big tools that I use on a day-to-day basis. It's very useful, and it's very accurate.
Very good. So, hey, we're learning.
That's it.
We're learning. Now, a couple weeks ago, or maybe, I don't know how long it's been ago now, we started to do this education routine, and we started talking mutual funds, and we did a pretty good explanation of mutual funds, and we had a test, and we tested Pastor Dave, and he failed miserably.
I don't do well at tests, Joe.
So, now, Dave, how's a mutual fund work? See, he doesn't even want to take the test today.
He's learned his lesson.
It's a retention problem, Joe.
It is.
Are you getting old?
Really, take medication.
I just
going to
say, are you getting old? The answer is no, you are old. There's a big difference. So, and I'm going to give a synopsis because I want to talk also about exchange traded funds. So, both are very similar, but just look at a great big pizza pie. Great big round circle, and let's call it this pie. And Pastor Dave and Vince Rosino decide to start a mutual fund company, and they go out and buy stock in 100 different companies, and they buy $1 million worth of each company. They now raised $100 million, and they put all of it into that great big pie. And then Joe Martek comes along and says, you know, guys, all I've got is 10 grand, but I want all of those 100 companies. So Pastor Dave and Vince say, okay, fine, Joe, we'll slice you off a little sliver of that whole pie, and you will own all 100 of those companies fractionally, $10,000 worth of that $100 million pie. And then we, meaning Pastor Dave and Vince, are going to charge Joe Martek a fee because we are buying and doing the work, so we're going to get a fee, and you're going to own all this. Now, why would I want a mutual fund to start with? The word is diversification. If one company is in trouble, 99 may not be in trouble. Now, is there a guarantee they're always going to go up? No. Sometimes the market takes a tank and the whole market goes down, and you would go down in a mutual fund also under most circumstances. Now, there are stock funds. There's also what's called, here we go. But we're going to take a call in between here. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, Joe, this is Joanne Rosino. How are you?
You sound familiar. No wonder you sound familiar, but you sound so young today.
Okay.
Thank you. Don't worry, honey. I'll bring the boots home.
Okay, I have a question for Mike Pauls.
Okay.
Hello, Mike. You know, I noticed that refinances are becoming very, very popular because I close on them. My question to you is, please explain to me why these banks, and I mean not mortgage companies, but primary banks, mm-hmm. are lending 70, 75-year-old people money, cashing out, and giving them a 30-year mortgage. What is that all about?
Well, because we can't discriminate because of age.
Unless they're Italians. Now, Italians don't qualify, Joanne.
We're on the air. Am I right?
You're on the air. Yeah. No, clean up.
Don't say anything.
You cannot say it.
I won't even say what I normally say.
If I were 70-year-old or 80-year-old, if they had a 50-year...
Is that the reason, Mike, you can't discriminate?
Correct. That's simple. You cannot discriminate because of age. And if I were 70 or 80 years old and they gave a 50-year mortgage, I would take that.
It really makes no difference because the law, you can't do anything different from one person to another based on race, gender, age.
There is a loan we can discriminate for age.
It was just a reverse mortgage.
Reverse mortgage. You have to be older.
Only one.
Right.
You have to be
62.
You have to be. Hey, guess what? Even though you can't qualify, Joanne, because you're too young, but your old man that you live with, he could qualify for it.
Yeah, maybe so. No, I was just wondering because I find that very bizarre, and people are cashing out quite a bit of money. Maybe they're free and clear on their house, and they're taking out a mortgage for whatever reason. They take the money out of the house.
Well, first
but
of all, the person
I
would have to qualify
very,
for it.
Very
unusual.
Unusual. And I think that's a big risk for these banks. I mean, I'm talking about...
Not really.
I don't think it's...
No, they got equity on the house, and then if the people die or default, they take the house back, sell it, and pay off the mortgage.
And plus, these banks,
no,
and these banks don't own the mortgage anyway.
Don't you think that's a pain in the neck to do that, for a major bank to have to turn around?
Let me ask you something. You talk to all the people that are in the bank that do that for a living, and you tell them that, they say, wait a minute, if you eliminate that, you eliminate my job. All these people in banks, which is legal, there's how many people, Mike, involved in a foreclosure? I mean, it's a ton of people.
Yeah, get
paid.
It's a phenomenal business.
Yeah. So, it's called jobs.
Okay. Right.
This is like trying to eliminate CPAs. You know, we've been trying for years, but we can't do it.
It's not working. Even now, they'll never change the law. You realize that.
CPAs happen to be very smart, like mortgage brokers.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Financial planners.
You know, she's
there. You go. She does all the right things.
Very smart people.
Wait a minute.
And lawyers too.
You want to throw lawyers into that while you're at it?
Well, he's not there on the station, so I don't have to promote him.
Yes, well, actually, we got Alan Love, guest attorney here today.
Okay, Alan, and of course, attorney.
All right, Joanne. Thank you for keeping.
All right, now stay well, everyone. Thank you for answering my question, Mike.
No problem.
Okay, bye, bye. See you later.
That was it. Well, you know what? We've only heard this 100 times, maybe more than that, maybe 1,000 times over the years. People saying, "How in the world can they give me? I'm 80 years old, a 30-year mortgage."
Because they cannot discriminate.
They can't discriminate. Yeah.
And it depends on how much they're willing to give you too. I mean, if there's enough equity in that house,
that's
a downside.
But they still can't discriminate.
But what really is the downside to the mortgage company?
Well, as a rule of thumb, if you're taking cash out of a property, most banks, most lenders, most programs in general will limit you to 80%. Yeah. Now, there's exceptions to that. There are programs that go higher, a little bit lower, but 80% is the rule of thumb.
So therefore, even if you defaulted and you were 90 years old and you missed the payment.
20%.
Mm-hmm. They still got equity in the house.
Yeah, there's equity. Yeah. So
maybe I'm off base here, and if I am, you'll correct me. But it seems to me one thing they don't talk about when they do these reverse mortgage commercials is, it seems to me that they could create some family strife in certain families. Like if if mom and dad decide to take money out of the house
right.
to go on their dream cruise around the world, and the kids are saying, no, why do you want to do that? don't take that $60,000 out of the
you're
house.
You're spending our inheritance.
Yeah, but for the most part, and for doing this for 28 years, I rarely run into that situation.
Kids say, mom and dad, do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you know why? Because if the reverse, Joe, you could testify to this.
Oh, boy.
A reverse mortgage can really make a difference in someone's life. It can change your life dramatically. If you can't afford your own bills, then someone's going to. The kids are going to have to stand up and make the payments.
The best
one, that's all they have.
Best one I ever had in the last X number of years was a lady in Fort Pierce. She lived in the same house for years and years and years. She was in her 80s, and she never had air conditioning. Now, can you imagine living in Florida without AC?
Not at all.
I can't imagine, no.
But she got a reverse mortgage, and she got central AC put in the house. I will tell you, that was the happiest person on that block for a good long time, and she probably still is. The key was she could not afford to make a mortgage payment, and she couldn't afford, obviously, to put central air in the house.
Mm-hmm.
The reverse mortgage gave her the money to do it, and she never has to pay it. When she dies or moves out of the house, either her heirs will sell the house, pay off the mortgage, or the bank will take it back if they don't do that. So, she got to live. And I'm sure her kids, because Mike would tell you, everybody that gets reverse mortgage has to go through counseling up the yin-yang. And this is an easy process. You have to talk to a third-party counselor to make sure you know what you're doing. They really make quite a deal.
It's one of the few loan programs out there where they want you to get additional counseling to so you understand what the ramifications are. And oddly enough, it's such a strange situation, but the reverse mortgages have a very high default rate. And you may ask yourself, how do they default? There's no payments to make.
Well, you got taxes.
You have to pay the taxes and insurance.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Unfortunately, the entire expense of owning the home doesn't go away. Just the principal and interest.
Just the principal and interest.
So, if you default on taxes and insurance, then the bank takes the house.
Yeah,
and
unfortunately,
they just get their money out.
Yeah, but if you had a reverse mortgage on that property, or you didn't have a reverse mortgage, you still have to make your taxes and insurance payments. So, either way, if you don't make those payments, you're going to lose the house.
Well, it's like leasing a car. You still have to make your insurance payments on the car.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Right. If you don't, lease company says you're in default.
Yeah.
So the whole concept is when you get the reverse mortgage, you agree to maintain your property as you were, like you have been. You got to maintain it physically. You have to pay your insurance, and you have to pay your taxes. Now, there have been a few horror stories, and Mike was alluding to them, and one specifically I can talk about was a very, very, very sweet, gentle, older man, probably my age.
Did you say gentle, sweet old man?
Okay, forget that part. I said my age. Anyway,
oh, my goodness.
He got this reverse mortgage, and they gave him $50,000, $60,000, and the kids took all the money.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, they literally took all the money, and at the time, he went out and created some debt because he had some money. All of a sudden, the money's gone and he had new debt. Nothing to do with the reverse mortgage because he didn't have to make the payment. And he could not afford anymore to pay his taxes and insurance. So even though he got counseled and was warned about making sure you don't give away all this money and get yourself into debt, because you go down to the bank and you deposit 50, 60 grand in the bank and say, hey, give me a credit card or something, they may be more than happy to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But literally,
well, they made some changes to the reverse mortgage program to protect the seniors from that situation. Now they'll only advance about 60% of what you're entitled to the first year. The remaining 40%, you can withdraw that the following year. So that eliminates
a little bit.
Not eliminates it, but it does help the situation.
Slows it down a bit.
Right. And also, now there's qualifications. There never were income qualifications for reverse mortgage because there were no payments to make. Now we at least have to verify that you have the ability to, maintain the property, pay the taxes, and pay the insurance.
So if your Social Security check isn't big enough to cover that, they said, how you been living here all this time? Well, my kids have been helping me. But once you get that 50 or 60 grand, the kids may not help you anymore.
Okay, here's another question. Let's say you do a reverse mortgage, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And let's say then you come into some money and you want to get rid of the reverse mortgage. You want to come back as the actual real owner of the house.
Pay it
where
off.
You can set.
Well, you're always
so
you the owner.
Pay it off.
You're always the owner of the house.
So you're not. It's not like an irrevocable trust thing.
No. Matter of fact, there's so many different programs out there now, and the most popular one is it's a home equity line of credit, which is nice because if you have that scenario, let's say you have another home that you sold, or you inherit some funds, or you liquidate some retirement funds, that allows you to pay that reverse mortgage down. And if it is an equity line of credit, then it you can keep it open and use it in the future if you need it. So it's just a revolving line of credit, just like your credit card.
The only difference between that and a regular second mortgage or for whatever it might be is you don't have to make a payment. You don't have to make a principal and interest payment. But anytime you want, you can pay it off.
But there is a couple other things to it. Also, there's a tax advantage to it.
Yeah,
the money's not income. And you do accrue interest on the debt, though, mm-hmm. and then you may not see it, but your heirs would probably see it. Once the debt's paid, and that interest is paid, there's an interest deduction on the back end. Mm-hmm. So whatever's paid in interest becomes an interest deduction. For the estate.
Right.
Now, what I was going to ask you, Mike, is the biggest complaint I've heard about the reverse mortgages is the fees associated with it and the interest rates that go along with the debt.
Well, the interest
rates. Can you talk to both of those?
Yeah, the interest rates are in line. They're a little bit higher than a forward mortgage. Not much, not significantly.
Half a point?
About that.
Yeah.
But the closing costs are higher, and there's a reason for that. On a reverse mortgage, the balance grows. So you may borrow $100,000 today, but 10 years down the road, it could be $200,000. So as a result, we have to file mortgages and get insurances on that, like title insurance, for the full potential of the increase. Mm-hmm. So we have, so that as a result, the closing costs aren't based on $100,000. They're based on $200,000. Mm-hmm. So it's not that they're trying to gouge you. It's just the nature of the beast. It's a more expensive loan. But if you compare it to a forward mortgage, the closing costs are probably going to be about 30% higher on a reverse mortgage.
Well, that's,
so, but that's rolled into the loan. It's not like you have to write a check normally. It comes out
It'll
of the proceeds of the loan.
Yeah.
You're paying it one way or another.
Yeah, down the road you're paying.
And the key to this program, folks, no matter who you go through, it's the same program. This is a federal program.
Yeah, it's all FHA.
Yeah. I mean, you go through Mike or you go through Joe Martek. You can't go through Joe Martek because I don't do that. But you go through XYZ Lender or Mike Paulus, it's the same program, same fees, same everything. Why would you go through Mike instead? Well, he's here.
Yeah.
He lives right
here. And it's very important. You know, seniors normally have a lot of questions about this program. And I always suggest that you meet face-to-face with your lender. You can go to a national lender, but they're not going to sit across from you and explain how the program works.
Well, that's it. I was going to say the analogy is you're just not an application taker.
No.
You're actually giving good professional advice to people, and you're explaining, and that's valuable.
You know, that's the best way I've ever heard you explain anything.
Really?
That was really good. Say it again.
it was that good. I forgot.
It was that good. what you just said was. This is such a big deal that when most of us, we take it for granted. But if you walk into XYZ Bank and talk reverse mortgage, they say, okay, fine. Then you start asking them questions. 90% of these people have never been educated in how that total program works.
You know, most banks do not do reverse mortgages. You have to normally go to a mortgage lender. It's really a different animal. I'm not saying that they're not capable of doing it, but it's a really different type of loan that you need to speak to a specialist who knows how the program
works. Absolutely, and that's what I was referring to, Mike. I was giving you a compliment.
I was trying to tell the listeners that
Mike does more than just take your paperwork and try to process it for you.
I appreciate that.
1-888-221-8990. So I'm back to this pie again. You remember this? We had a mutual
The pie.
And we get a little tiny sliver, $10,000 worth out of that $100 million pie. Now, the pie may not be $100 million, and it may not be 100 companies. It could be as many as 500, 3,000, 50. The mutual fund itself doesn't have to be X number of companies. So what happens with the mutual fund now, we buy that because of diversification. We pay a fee to the mutual fund company, and that fee could go anywhere from as low as 0.25% per year to as high as 5% per year. That's my experience. Now, don't take this to the bank. That's the basic spread.
Mm-hmm.
Now, stay with this thought. Keep me on track because we're going to take a
this
call.
This is how far
meantime.
We got the last
okay.
time.
Pizza. We're talking about pizza.
Caller, it's
pizza.
Joe Martek. You're on the radio. Hello?
Yes, I want to speak to the attorney, Mr. Love.
He's sitting right here. Go ahead.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I didn't want to speak to him on the air, though. I wanted to ask him something.
Well,
you want him to call you after the show?
Pastor Tom has your number. I'll be happy to call you back after the show.
Okay, yes. I gave them my number.
Okay, fine.
We'll have Alan give you a call after the show. Is that okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was an easy one.
That was an easy one.
So I'm back to my pie.
Okay. I'm getting
and
hungry.
Back to the fees. The insurance, the mutual fund company, now Pastor Dave and Vince, they're going to collect, let's say, 2% a year. Let's just use that as a number.
On $100 million?
Yeah.
They have a good life.
They make a good life.
Yeah.
So as long as they sell enough of shares in that pie, right.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't sell any shares in the pie, they got a lot of money out there. And I'm assuming that Vince only has $50 million. Pastor Dave had to come up with the other $50 million. And you may have had to borrow 49.999 of that million. So you may have to pay interest on it.
He's got a great imagination.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
He really does.
Anyway, so the whole concept is this company is going to make a fee for letting you share in all of these different companies. And that fee is deducted roughly every single day, roughly 1/365th of, let's say, 2% a year is deducted from your account. So let's just say the market goes up 10%. If you subtract at the end of the year the 2%, you would actually show 8% gain. Now, it isn't done once a year. It's done on a daily basis. When the market's open, they deduct that fee. So you never actually see it, but there's no such thing as people working for free.
Well, yeah, but also the fee, Joe, is for professional management.
No kidding.
That's basically what you're paying for.
That's exactly what you're paying for.
Because this big pie has to be managed. Because the selection of companies that go into the
pool
is all part of what this manager does.
Exactly.
And so that's what you're paying for.
Now, there are some mutual funds that are a bit easier, which could be like the S&P 500. They copy an index. Could be the NASDAQ 100. Could be the Dow 30. I mean, they're not as intensive because they already have somebody else doing the index. But then there are some that are very intensive. And this is where the fees start to get a bit higher. Some can be pushing 5%. Companies could be involved in European, Japanese, all kinds of different companies all over the world. So the concept is you, the consumer, want to get somewhat educated onto how these funds work. If you don't want to get educated, then what happens, most of the soothsayers would say, hey, stay with an index fund. Because now it follows every day. Like if you ever watch the TV, they're going to talk every day about the Dow, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ.
Can we talk about the Dow for just a moment, Joe?
Which is 30 companies, right?
Yes, but what I want to mention is, again, we've hit a benchmark today, one of those publicity
right.
benchmarks. The Dow closed at 22,004 for the first time.
Yeah,
over,
yeah.
It's amazing.
Over 22,000.
Yeah.
But... you know, one of the things to realize, though, is the media will probably hype this. It doesn't mean that that you should put your money in the market tomorrow. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't. I can't predict the market. Joe can't. Mike
nope.
can't. Vince can't. Pastor Dave, maybe he can.
He's praying for a rise in the market.
Let's take, you mentioned ETFs,
right.
exchange-traded funds,
right.
which basically the only difference between an ETF and a mutual fund is the ETF is liquid. It trades any minute of the day on an exchange, where a mutual fund only trades at the end of the day after prices are settled at 4 o'clock. But let's take the DIA, which is the Dow Jones ETF of the Dow Jones 30 stocks.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the Dow closed at a record high today of 22,004, but of the 30 stocks, only 11 of them were higher on the day, 19 were lower.
What happens, they do a weighted average to come up with the total number. Now, let me tell you, this is not simple. This is complicated. But what did happen is Apple had a really good quarter, and the profit was really higher than anybody expected. So Apple carried basically the whole weighted average and made it come up over that number. All of that in 50 cents buys a third of a cup of coffee. Yeah.
A third of a cup.
Maybe a quarter of a cup. We're not going to Starbucks now. We're going to 7-Eleven. All I'm trying to say is the concept of the mutual fund is to spread your risk out. Is there a good time and a bad time to get into these things? Of course there is. Does anybody know it? No, they don't. I don't care who talks to you. They just don't know. What we do as a group, as we're sitting right here now, is say, hey, we look at numbers, and we looked at price-to-earnings ratios. We look at all kinds of different things and try to say, hey, look, the market might be full today, and if you're a trader, you're going to be more selective. You're going to be look a little bit more careful. All I'm trying to say is this. Let's take the next scenario of this, which personally I like a ton of. What if I have this S&P 500 or the Dow or the NASDAQ, and I say, hey, let's insure it. Let's protect. You ever imagine something like this happening? Is this kind of like mortgages?
Is that like protecting the roulette table?
It's like protecting the roulette table. And that's exactly what it is. So what insurance companies do, they'll come up and say, fine, we'll put you in the S&P 500, which so far this year is up 11 or 12%. But what happens is this. Once a year, we will look at that marketplace. And if the market goes up at the end of the year, we'll lock it in at that number, and we'll guarantee you an income on that for the rest of your life. Usually if you qualify, 5 or 6% you can get, period. They also sometimes will put a death benefit in that says we're going to guarantee you a 5% or 6% death benefit on that number. So it starts with one number, which is your start number, and if it goes up at the end of the year, they reset it up. And when they never can reset it down. They can never reset it down. So let's just use an easy example. I put $100,000 in, and it's in the S&P 500, and the S&P 500 goes up 10% during the rest of the year, and you now have $110,000 sitting in that account, and you haven't taken any money out. Insurance company says, okay, fine, we're going to reset you at 110. Now you start taking income out, and you're old enough, which you have to be over 59 and a half, and if you're over 65, most of them say we'll give you a 5% income on that. So now we have 110, and we can take out 5% of 110 as an income for the rest of our life, and it can't go down. But let's just say the next year the market tanks, and we have an extreme recession, and the market goes down to 50,000. Well, that means your 110 is now down to $50,000. But the insurance company says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to lock you in at that 110, and we're going to keep paying you based on 110 until it comes up higher. And if it never comes up higher, we, the insurance company, are going to keep paying you until the rest of your life. Rest of your life, period. Now, you have to be concerned about which insurance company it is. My compliance people say you're supposed to know their claims paying ability, etc. Only insurance companies that I deal with are household names or some of the most powerful companies in America. The second scenario is, same one, Vince takes out this thing and he's got this 110, but now he decides to die and the market's down to 50.
I decide to die.
Why'd you do that like that when
I decide to die?
Who decides to die?
Hang on for a second while you're dying and I'm going to take this call. Okay. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Jomi. My name is Ines Moran. I'm a listener and supporter of the station, and I always been have been listening to you and your advisor, and I always wanted to call for a question, but today was the day I make the decision to call. And
Thank you for calling.
I have
I love that name, Ines.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yes. Oh,
thank you. Thank you. So I have a vacant land where I've been thinking of building a house. I also have a condominium payoff that I bought in cash. I have never had a mortgage on it. And I don't know, I'm just debating about should I build or should I sell the land and buy a house.
Boy, you got Mike Powell's mortgage guy sitting here.
That's really just a personal question. I mean, a lot of people like to build a new house, but the one thing you have to be aware of when you go under contract with a builder, that house doesn't come with all the bells and whistles that maybe a used house comes with. You know, if you want the upgraded towel rack, it's going to cost you money. So you just have to be aware of that because it's generally more expensive to build a new house. And then there's the complication of paying for the new house while it's being constructed. So there are some, you know, hidden expenses that you need to know. But we do construction loans. We do them all the time. They're readily available now. Which is good because a few years ago they were not.
I need to ask you a question. Do you want to build this house for you to live in, or do you want to build it for an investment?
Yes.
Okay.
So no. I want to build it for me to live in for life. That's mm-hmm. what I want to build it because it's a nice area and it's a big. It's an acre and a quarter, and I want to have patio, garden, and stuff like that.
Let me ask you another question. Your condo? Would you sell your condo?
No.
So you want to keep
very, very, yeah, keep it and rent it.
Okay.
It's very good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So here's what you need to do, and we're not going to do it on the radio. Mike Paulus, who's sitting here, who is the mortgage fellow, he will call you tomorrow, hopefully.
Yeah.
He will counsel you on the phone and try to give you some options. And then if it's in your best interest, you'll sit down with Mike and figure out how this is going to work to your advantage. Does that make sense?
Oh, good. Good, makes sense. Yeah,
Inez has
I'm off tomorrow, so I'd be able to speak to him.
Perfect.
Yeah, and you have a very good situation that most people do not have. Most people have to sell their house, rent for a year while the house is being constructed. So then you have your rent payment, you have your construction loan payment, so it becomes very expensive. You own your condo free and clear.
You're in good shape.
So you're in great shape.
And listen, after you get
and I have a good saving to put if I needed to put more down, and I can use equity from the property, and I also have an excellent credit that I can get a loan if I want to.
Let me ask you, Inez, where is this house going to be built? What town?
What town? It's in Royal Palm Beach town.
Okay, good.
It's
remember
a
this.
Very, very growing area.
After the house gets built, you have to have a party and invite all of us.
And I would definitely do happily.
Okay.
I need your help. At least advise me. You know, I like to deal with Christian people. I'm a Christian lady, so I say, let me call them. The best advice will come from you.
Well, thank you so much. And that's what you're going to get. You're going to get nothing but the best advice. We promise that. Anyway,
thank you.
Mike will call you tomorrow, and thank you for listening, and thank you for the call.
Yes, thank you.
Yes,
thank you, callers.
Bye-bye.
You might be able to talk Tom into doing a live remote at the party.
Yeah, Tom could do a live remote at the party. Yes. Inez, if you're still listening, remember this, we can do that. And Pastor Dave can come in and explain what a mutual fund is.
Yes.
No, I'll just bring the pizza.
No.
Bring
the pizza.
He'll explain what the pie is.
Back to, again, this insured investment. There's another thing that very often insurance companies do. They add another factor into it, which is called a death benefit. So let's say you have a 5% income where you're taking out $5,000 every year, but they have a 5% death benefit. So if all of a sudden Vince decided to die and he put $100,000 in and he's taken out $5,000 a year, and then he dies and the market's down to $50,000, well, basically his principal is protected for his bride. So his wife is going to like him a whole lot better than she thought she did because she's going to get the whole $100,000.
But he still has a $50 million out in his mutual fund.
I know. 1-888-221-8990. So right now, if a person is probably in their 50s, 60s, or 70s, I like the concept of this insured investment a lot. If they're much younger, they got a longer period of time to look at things, then I don't usually talk so much about that. But as we don't get younger, and we get to be as old as Vince, you don't know, it could be your last minute. So you got to be careful.
Absolutely.
You know, if you get to be as old as Pastor Dave, you're past your, you know, what are you, your shelf life is way past, right?
I went to high school with St. Peter. Actually, he was a year ahead of me.
Anyway, 1-888-221-8990. And if you don't want to talk to us on the radio, which we're just about out of time, am I right?
Yes, sir.
How much time?
Three minutes.
almost a little over 3 minutes.
A little over three.
Time goes
You call
quick.
A radio station anytime. They'll take your name and number, and we'll call you back. Inez, Mike will call you tomorrow. But she, like you said, is in a magnificent position with a free and clear condo. Good job, good credit, got extra cash, build the house she wants. She doesn't have to be in a hurry.
Nope.
And then if she, in her condo, it sounds like is a really nice piece of property. She
yeah,
can
if
rent
she's
it.
Going to keep it. I mean, right now the rental market is so hot. I mean, rentals have increased at least 30% over the last couple of years.
Yeah, they're really strong. I mean, I just talked to yesterday to a person that went to see four rentals, and all of them were rented within an hour from the time she found out about
it. Yeah, they're lining up. If, I mean, it's a great time to buy investment property,
too.
Yeah,
yeah. So, I mean, her concept is there. And if you finance it, you're still getting good interest rates even on investment property today. Am I
sure,
right?
Absolutely. Now, the ideal scenario when you're buying investment properties, if you can afford to put 25% down, you get the most attractive interest rate. But we do investment properties with as little as 15% down.
Yep. 1-888-221-8990. Now we're really winding down, and I don't think we'll have time for another phone call. You think so? What do we have now?
Well, we're about 2.5 minutes out.
Oh, boy. We're hardly using any
Joe,
time.
Let me ask a question about these annuities that you were talking about, insured annuities.
Right.
Obviously, you've talked a lot about diversification.
Sure.
So does that also apply to insured annuities, that you wouldn't want somebody to put like 80, 90% of their net worth into them?
Well, it really depends on the person. And I've seen people do it because it depends on their age and what their goal is. Let's say you're as old as you, and now this you're on your last leg.
He's got a way with words.
Let's say you're as old as you.
And you say, hey, all I want, I'm not a very sophisticated person, don't confuse me with details, what I want is an income, and I want to get a guaranteed income no matter what, and I want this best insurance company in the world to guarantee it, and 5% on $100,000, which is all my money, gives me $5,000 a year, and it can go up, but it can't go down. I'd look at you and I'd say, hey, you got to keep some cash in the bank. You've got to keep some cash in the bank. How much? There's no exact rule of thumb, but I often say, how big is your family? I got 8 kids. Well, you better keep at least 20 grand in the bank because they're going to get it from you one way or another. The key I'm trying to look at is we counsel each person and try to say what is in your best interest. So diversification is one thing. How much of your money you want to tie up is another thing. What's your goal? Goal is the biggest single item that we look for, and we want to make sure it's done. I hate to see people get into any instrument that they may have to cash in and never pay a penalty on, because there's no such thing as free lunches in the world, unless you're a politician, of course, we all know that. But the point is, you look at something and try to make sure you make the most intelligent decision you can. 1-888-221-8990. I think we're down to our last breath here. So I'm gonna say thank you so much, Inez, for calling, and Joanne for wondering why old people get mortgages. and we'll see you
next
week.
Thank God they do.
Thank you.
That's right. Thank God, Greg. Right?
Amen. Onward.
Amen.
We're
thank
done.
You.
God
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.